has figured out how to pull to a stand at the crib rail but can't get back down again, gently lift her hands from the rail, bend her knees, and guide her into her favorite lying down position. The idea is to show her how to do it herself, the opposite of her being picked up and magically plopped into a lying down position. Whether it's sitting, on hands and knees, or standing, once you know that your baby can lie back down by herself and begins to do so, you no longer need to guide her down. What do I do if my baby climbs out of the crib? If your baby is starting to climb out of the crib but is under 2 years old, make sure the mattress is at the lowest level and try putting cushions, couch cushions work well, around her crib at night, just in case. Some little mini gymnasts can launch themselves from the crib at an early age and take us by surprise. Other toddlers stay happily in their cribs until age 3 or even older. If, no matter what you do, your baby is still able to climb out of the crib, for safety reasons, you will have to move her to a toddler bed. We don't normally like sleep sacks much, as they restrict baby's freedom to move around the crib. However, we met parents who put their 2-year-old in a sleep sack as it prevented her from getting a leg up high enough to climb out of the crib. Pretty brilliant. Does my baby have separation anxiety? You may worry that your baby doesn't like falling asleep on her own because she's separated from you. And it's true that babies and toddlers go through periods of separation anxiety. This is developmental and also depends on your child's temperament. Know that it's okay for your baby to protest separating. Over time, with your consistent patterns, she internalizes the idea that her most important people are right nearby, that she's okay in her comfortable crib, and that you always greet her in the morning. My baby is throwing lovies and stuffed animals out of the crib. What should I do? That trusted, soothing lovey. At some point, your baby might figure out that if she launches it out of the crib, you'll come back in to retrieve it. You give it back to her, turn to leave, and she's already flung it back overboard. First, try going in a handful of times and simply give the lovey back. The first time you do, say, "It's time for sleeping," and walk out. The subsequent times, don't say anything. Be as boring and quick as possible so that the visit won't feel fun for your baby. If you're doing the sleep wave, retrieve the blanket only once during each 5-minute check. Do this in a very quick and unobtrusive manner so that baby doesn't really notice that it's back near her hands.
Chapter 5. Child Sleep, 2 to 6 Years. Healthy Sleep Habits. Your Child's Sleep. Toddlers and preschoolers are amazing little beings. They have advancing language, impressive cognitive skills, and budding personalities. They explore and test the world with growing independence. It's easy to see how these very same skills can lead to new and sometimes tricky challenges when it comes to sleep. Little kids are master negotiators, quick to try out crafty schemes for delaying bedtime and resisting naps, and their awareness and imagination can lead to separation anxiety, fears of the dark, and nightmares. Even if your child used to be an easy sleeper, he may now be refusing naps, digging in his heels at bedtime, calling for you, or even padding down the hallway to greet you in the middle of the night. In this chapter, we'll help you address all of these very common sleep issues. Typical sleep challenges for toddlers and young children are bedtime resistance, requiring a parent's presence to fall asleep at night or fall back to sleep in the middle of the night, getting out of bed after bedtime, waking up too early, resisting naps or requiring a special setting such as a stroller ride for naps, giving up naps too early, nightmares and night terrors. Your 2 to 3-year-old needs 12 to 14 hours of sleep in total and most likely still takes one nap. Your 3 to 5-year-old needs 11 to 13 hours of sleep. Some continue one nap until about 4 years old. Your 5 to 10-year-old needs 10 to 11 hours total. Remember how much sleep your young child needs. It's still a lot. This total sleep time includes naps, which most children need until they're roughly 3 to 5 years old. Little children are often early risers, so it's very helpful to keep your child's bedtime early, especially if your child needs to start the morning early for daycare, preschool, or elementary school. Going to bed around 7:30 p.m. is the way to carve out enough time for a full night's sleep. If your child resists bedtime and getting to bed early is difficult, we'll help you address this later in the chapter. Bedtime and sleep associations. If you've listened to chapters 3 and 4, you're familiar with the idea of sleep associations, the behaviors, soothing methods, or elements of the environment that your child associates with sleep, and the importance of how your child falls asleep. We will review this information here because it looks a little different for older children. The way your child falls asleep determines a lot about how he sleeps through the night. This is because all children wake up during the night as they pass through stages of sleep. Many times during the night, your child, just like you, transitions between sleep stages and shifts into a light sleep. He stirs and wakes partially. When this happens, he either rolls over, pulls up his covers, tucks a stuffed animal under his arm, and drifts back to sleep. Or he calls out to you to help him. If your little one falls asleep on his own at bedtime and goes back to sleep on his own during the night without help, he has practiced his own special ability to self-soothe and feels confident to do this at bedtime as well as when he wakes up in the night. If your child relies on your presence to fall asleep at bedtime or calls out to you for help falling back to sleep during the night, he isn't a bad sleeper. He just hasn't practiced becoming comfortable with his own self-soothing to sleep. There are lots of reasons that children have trouble sleeping through the night without help, but one of the main reasons is that they wake up in the night with different sleep associations, even slightly different ones, than they had when they went to bed. Here's an example of a 3-year-old who wakes up 1 to 2 times a night. At bedtime, mom or dad lies down in his bed until he's asleep, or almost fully asleep. The light in the hallway is on. Sips of water are given to him by request. The blankets are tucked in by mom or dad repeatedly before he falls asleep. But in the middle of the night, he wakes up alone in bed. The lights are off. He has no accessible water. He can't retuck his own blankets. One of the first steps when you're working on sleep is to look at the exact environment in which your child goes to bed. If there are any behaviors or elements of his bedroom that he cannot recreate for himself in the middle of the night, you will need to address each of these. This might mean changing the behaviors you do at bedtime or arranging and practicing things so that your child knows what to do in the middle of the night. For example, make sure that there is an accessible sippy cup in case he needs water, and do rehearsals during the day in which you help your child practice pulling up and retucking his own blankets. The goal is not to do anything to help your child fall asleep at bedtime that he can't do on his own in the middle of the night. If your child is used to you lying down until he falls asleep, or he has other strong sleep associations that you need to change at bedtime, this usually requires a consistent, structured plan. We'll help you accomplish this later in the chapter with the sleep wave, or the reverse sleep wave. A National Sleep Foundation poll found that infants and toddlers who were put to bed asleep were nearly 3 times as likely to wake up and need help at least twice per night than those who went to bed awake. Here are some of the most common unhelpful sleep associations for toddlers and preschoolers, and examples of how you might change them. Unhelpful sleep associations. Mom or dad's presence. Calling the parent in for water. Calling the parent in to tuck blankets. Hallway lights on at bedtime. Sleeping in the parent's bed when independent sleep is desired. Strollers, rocking, or other motion delivered by the parent. Falling asleep in another room, for example, the living room. Helpful sleep associations. A song, kiss goodnight, leave the room. Placing a sippy cup near the bed. being able to manage your own blankets. Rehearse this during the day. Dim nightlight on all night. Feeling comfortable in his own bed to fall asleep and sleep continuously through the night. Rolling and moving your body around to get comfortable. The feelings, sounds, and sights of your child's crib or bed. What if your child goes to bed independently, but then, after a nightmare, mom lies down with him until he falls back to sleep? This counts as an unhelpful sleep association, too, because if the child drifts off with mom stroking his head, the next time he comes back into a light sleep, where's mom? By the way, you'll always soothe and help your child after a nightmare, but we'll help you do this without creating an unhelpful sleep association. Your child's bedroom. The sights, sounds, and feel of your child's bedroom can have a big impact on his sleep. In the last chapter, we went through all the basic elements of a child's bedroom for any age. In addition to these important bedroom elements, here are a few you'll want to consider with a toddler or young child. A wind-down space. Have a dim lamp by the bed that you can use for reading, and a few comfortable pillows so you can sit on or beside your child's bed. It's really helpful to dim the lights an hour or so before bed to help your child's body wind down for sleep. Turn off bright overhead lights in the house before you start your bedtime routine. A nightlight. Many young children like having a nightlight for falling asleep and waking up in the night, especially if they need to pee. Use a very soft nightlight. Even the dimmest light can seem like too much after your child's eyes have adjusted to the dark. Design. Does your child's room evoke a sense of calm? Think about using colors and patterns that are soothing. Organize your child's room so he feels peaceful during naps and at bedtime. Ask your little one if it feels cozy to him. Have your child make his bed. When he's old enough to pull up the covers, even if you secretly redo it later, it's a nice ritual for him to be involved in and take care of his own sleeping place. No television. Children who have a television in their bedroom tend to sleep less at night and are less likely to take a nap than those with no television in their room. Regular bedtime. An optimal bedtime for children ages 2 to 6 is between 7 and 8 p.m. Where your child falls in this range will depend on age, morning wake-up times, and nap. For example, a 3-year-old who's napping from 1 to 3 may do well with an 8 p.m. bedtime. A 4-year-old who has stopped napping and wakes up at 6:30 a.m. will do well with a 7 p.m. bedtime. Remember that your child should go to bed when he's in a good mood, not when he's yawning and bleary-eyed. If your child is a night owl and falls asleep at 9 p.m., he's probably not getting the best quality and length of sleep that he needs, unless he's sleeping until 8 a.m. every morning, which is hard to do with most family schedules. To shift this bedtime earlier, you can gradually move bedtime. To do this, put your child to bed 15 minutes earlier every 2 to 3 nights until you've achieved the right time. While you're in the process of shifting to an earlier bedtime, gently wake your child up in the morning if he's sleeping too long, because if your child sleeps until 9 a.m., he legitimately won't feel drowsy enough to fall asleep until 9 p.m. Remember that your child's wake-up time is like pressing go on his internal clock. Of course, it's okay for your child to sleep in to catch up on sleep sometimes, but especially when you're trying to shift a sleep pattern, it's best to keep your schedule as regular as possible on both weekdays and weekends. This gives consistent cues to his internal clock. In fact, a regular bedtime is as important as an early one. When your child's bedtime moves around, he's not getting the maximum benefit of regulated circadian rhythms. Ideally, your child should go to bed at the same time every night, on weeknights and weekends, within reason, of course. Morning wake-up times and naps will adjust slightly, but it shouldn't be by more than 30 minutes on a regular basis. A large study of more than 11,000 little kids, ages 3 to 7, showed that having a regular bedtime, independent of the time of that bedtime, was linked with better reading, math, and spatial abilities. Children with irregular bedtimes also had more behavioral issues, such as moodiness and hyperactivity, and kids with late and irregular bedtimes were the most affected. Moving bedtime around is like giving your child a mini case of jet lag on a regular basis, whereas a regular bedtime keeps her internal clock in sync. This affects many aspects of her thinking, mood, and behavior. You most likely already have a bedtime routine for your child. Even so, listen to this section and make sure it's the most sleep-conducive routine possible. Bedtime routines. Routines make kids, and grown-ups too for that matter, happy. Clear, consistent rituals and patterns allow kids to know what's coming, and the order and structure make them feel secure. When children don't have regular routines, there can be endless confusion and protesting. But when the whole house knows what to expect, the evening tends to flow more smoothly. Sample bedtime routines. Here are some examples of bedtime routines. Create your own in a way that works for the family. Remember, it doesn't matter exactly what you do. What matters is that it's clear, consistent, and calm. 2-year-old. This routine starts at 6:15 and bedtime is 7:15. Dim the lights in the home, bath, pajamas, brush teeth, read 2 stories, turn off the lights, say goodnight to objects in the room, sing 1 song, kiss goodnight, put your child in the crib, tell him you'll check on him in 5 minutes, and walk out of the room. 3-year-old. This routine starts at 6:30 and bedtime is 7:30. Dim the lights in the home, bath, pajamas, child-led play, brush teeth, read 2 stories, share a story of your day with each other, go to the potty, turn off the lights, sing 2 songs, kiss goodnight, say you'll check on him in 5 minutes, and walk out of the room. 5-year-old. This routine starts at 6:30 and bedtime is 7:30. Dim the lights in the home, bath, pajamas, brush teeth, read 2 chapters of a book, go to the potty, turn off the lights, talk about your highs and lows of the day, kiss goodnight, say you'll check on him in 5 minutes, and walk out of the room. Consistent and calm. You can craft your child's routine however you wish. All that matters is that the steps are consistent every night, and the behaviors and tone are progressively more calming towards the end. Do the last few steps of the routine in your child's room. Try not to make television part of the bedtime routine. Screen time before bed is linked to later bedtimes. Your child should definitely not engage with close-range electronics, such as computers or handheld screens, for at least 1 hour before bed. The artificial light from these gadgets can have an alerting effect on the brain and make it harder for your child to fall asleep. Lights, electronics, and bedtime. Light is a powerful signal to the body's circadian system. Lights in your home, including overhead lights and those from electronics, are known to suppress the secretion of melatonin, a chemical that naturally rises as we become drowsy before bed. This is especially true of blue light, which comes from computer screens, tablets, and other close-range devices. Bright home lights and the use of electronics in the hours before bed can delay your child's ability to fall asleep. Allow enough time for winding down. Your child's routine may take up to an hour to complete. If you think of it as starting with the bath after dinner and ending with you giving him a kiss and walking out of the room. Don't underestimate the amount of time it can take to move through all aspects of your child's routine, especially if you have multiple children. Not allowing enough time can make you feel rushed and stressed, which makes it harder for your child to wind down and fall asleep. If your child's bedtime is 7:30, then by 6:30 the house should shift into wind-down mode. You can even call it this, or come up with another phrase to help the family understand that it's time to shift their energy. It doesn't mean that your child is getting into bed now, it just means that the house has shifted into a calm, gradual march towards bedtime. This can be a pleasant time. Put on jazz music, turn down the overhead lighting. The idea is to signal to your child that sleep is coming down the road. A bedtime chart. The idea of a bedtime chart is to have a visual representation of each part of the bedtime routine so that the whole family is on the same page in terms of the order and the expectations before bed. A chart can be as simple or as fancy as you want to make it. It's just a way for your child to see her bedtime routine clearly and help her move through the steps. In the next section, you'll see an example of how to create a bedtime chart and use it as motivation for your child. Child-led play. This is a way to help your child shift into self-regulating mode. It's the opposite of you doing things to him, like bathing and dressing, and it sets the stage for your child's falling asleep independently. Child-led play varies by age, temperament, and interests. The key is to avoid teaching, initiating, or changing the play. All you really have to do is follow. For example, you've dimmed the lights in your child's bedroom, and you put a few simple toys or books on the floor. You sit or lie down on the floor with him and wait and watch to see what he does next. Just watch. Often it's enough for your little one to simply feel your presence and interest as she explores the room. You can pick up a similar toy or a complimentary toy and join in, even if it's really simple. It's not necessary to always expand, but at times you can add something like, "Can my guy help build that barn? I'm going to roll my ball next to your ball." Child-led play is good to do at any time, but before bedtime, keep it quiet and calm. If you're adding child-led play into your routine, try it before bath or after pajamas, before reading a book. Be specific and clear. It can help little kids to have very specific expectations and limits when it comes to bedtime routines. Clarify that your routine always has two stories and two songs. If your child spends a lot of time haggling over which book to read, choose a handful of books and allow him to pick two from that stack. Help with the transition. Your goal with bedtime routines is to be supportive and warm, but also very clear in handing off the responsibility for falling asleep to your child. We promise you he's very capable of falling asleep on his own. It's just a matter of helping him to make the transition clear and comfortable. Make sure that the last step of your routine happens in the dark while you're still in the room. Turn off the lights and sing songs, tell a story, or talk about the day before walking out. If your child is very used to your presence when he falls asleep, you might want to give him the experience of being alone in the room at the end of the bedtime routine before you leave. After your child is in bed and the lights are out, pop out quickly to fill his water glass or say, "I have to check something. I'll be right back," and leave the room for 1 minute. I worked with a family whose son was crying when dad left the room after the bedtime routine. We realized it was because the child went from a bright room with dad to being alone in the dark abruptly. The parents made a very specific routine with a visual chart. After stories, dad turned off the light and sat near the bed and talked briefly about the day. The son then had a moment with dad in the dark. His eyes could adjust, and it eased the transition to bed. After 2 to 5 minutes in the dark, and with the child still awake, dad kissed him goodnight and walked out. With this small adjustment, the son was comfortable falling asleep on his own. Talk through bedtime changes. We'll repeat this idea many times in this chapter because it's so important. Anytime you're working on sleep with a verbal child, talking with them and explaining the new plan is key. In this case, it might mean saying during the day and with a reminder before bed, "We're going to try something different today to help you get ready for bed and say goodnight." Explain how your bedtime chart works and review the exact steps and number of books and songs you'll have before saying goodnight. If you're going to use the reverse sleep wave, this is the time to explain or remind how it works. A gentle good morning. If you need to wake your child up in the morning, do so gently. Partially pull back the curtain and sit next to him on the bed. Allow him a few minutes to adjust and wake up quietly with your presence, rather than starting the day with an abrupt wake-up. Your child's relationship to sleep. Think about your little one's overall relationship to sleep. Does he, and do you, feel like it's something we have to do, a dreaded activity to check off the list, or is it something we get to do, a pleasurable time to value and look forward to? Sleeping well is just like eating well and exercising. It's part of taking care of ourselves and allowing our minds and bodies to be at our best so we can enjoy life to the fullest. Be a model for your child and let him see how much you value and take care of your own sleep. Think of it as a family priority, not a chore. This is something your child will carry with him throughout his whole life. We tend to spend a lot of time coaxing our kids to sleep, discussing expectations, talking about the bedtime routines, and so forth. So balance this with talk about sleep that doesn't involve you trying to get your child to do something. That should be easy because sleep is a pretty amazing topic and there's plenty to get you started. Talk about what sleep is, why it's neat, and why people need to sleep. For example, everybody in the whole wide world sleeps every night, just like we do. Did you know that while you sleep, your body becomes stronger and your brain makes connections and remembers information? When I don't sleep enough, sometimes my head feels a little cloudy. What does your body feel like when you don't sleep enough? Sleep is like breathing. It's what our bodies just know how to do. Your body and mind need about 11 hours of sleep at night because you're growing and changing so fast. Sleep is really important for all of us, though. Grown-ups need about 8 hours of sleep. Did you have any dreams that you remember from last night? Dreams are like stories told by our brains while we sleep. Your brain can be pretty creative at night, can it? After I say goodnight to you, I can't wait to lie down in my soft, cozy bed, read my book for a little while, and then close my eyes and go to sleep. Positive bedtime. Since you're aiming to create positive, warm associations with sleep, don't use bed or bedtime as a negative consequence. For example, by telling your child he'll go directly to bed without stories, or using the crib or bed as a space for time out. In general, we don't recommend using timeout as a punishment because this is not a helpful learning experience for your child. But if you use the concept of timeout to mean that your child has a moment to calm down and regulate himself, we still suggest using another space in the house to do this. Also, avoid sending your child to timeout during bedtime routines or using an early bedtime as a form of discipline. Use the positive techniques presented earlier in the chapter instead. Balanced days, peaceful nights. The world's best crafted bedtime routine won't cut it if your child is feeling stressed. When we humans are in a state of stress, the downstairs brain takes charge and we go into flight, fight, freeze, or faint mode. Think of running away when the PJs come out, fighting and stalling at every step of the routine. Overscheduled or chaotic days lead to bedtime struggles and restless nights. And a lot of factors can tip our lives out of balance, like nonstop after-school classes and enrichment activities like sports, music, and dance. Way too much homework at a time when families need to connect and wind down. Overwhelmed parents who feel like they need TV, computers, or tablets as babysitters. Parents' busy lives and the feeling of stress they carry. Everyone getting home late and healthy bedtimes rarely being met. On the other hand, if you pay attention to how your day unfolds and make sure that your child has downtime, he can shift out of stress mode and access his more sophisticated upstairs brain. When this happens, he's regulated, emotionally calm, and able to follow directions and enjoy books, songs, and snuggles. He's ready to welcome sleep. How to achieve this balance with your children? Pare down. Eliminate some activities and schedule free, unstructured time. Put your PJs on and discover what boredom feels like. One wise parent we know tells her children, when you're bored, your brain is growing. Lean into the open spaces in your day. Take a walk. Tumble and wrestle on the bed. Have everyone help with dinner prep. Take early baths with extra bubbles. Create a visual schedule or a chart that everyone uses to help you feel organized and keep the week balanced. Check in. Sit and snuggle, talk about your highs and lows, rub your child's feet if he'll let you. Find moments when you're really together and not distracted. With some kids, it doesn't work to ask them direct questions, so get down on the floor and join your child in what he's doing, instead of expecting an adult like, "How was your day?" conversation. When you're drawing, doing a puzzle, or playing a card game, conversations start to flow. It's good for working parents to know that quality means more than quantity when it comes to spending time with our kids. Think about you. Your mood rubs off on your children. Fighting with your partner, working too much, not taking care of your own sleep and exercise, not calling on friends, family, or other helpers to relieve you sometimes, all these things can increase stress in the house, and your child picks up on it. This is where the secure your own oxygen mask first analogy applies. put a limit on homework time. It's helpful to talk to your child's teacher and find out how much homework time is reasonable. Set a timer, and when that amount of time is up, put the homework away. Most teachers want to know if it's taking longer than they expected for the homework because this gives them information about how everyone is understanding the material. Current research shows little value from long hours of homework. It's better to reconnect and have some fun after a long day. Turn off the screens. Just try it. We promise you, you'll do just fine. As with any habit, you may go through a little withdrawal, but the reward will be big. Calmer nervous systems, brains primed for relaxation, and time to really be with each other. Make bedtime routines sweet and relaxing. Listen to the previous section on bedtime routines and craft one that you all enjoy. Hold tight to bedtime. It may seem rigid, but keeping bedtime consistent helps everyone feel less stressed the next day. Sleep solutions. Bedtime resistance. Helping your child get into bed. Preschoolers are brilliant designers of stall tactics, which means that sometimes just getting through the bedtime routine and actually getting your child physically into bed can feel like pushing a boulder up a mountain. No, I need to put on my other PJs. I need the water in my fishy cup. Now I need a different blankie for my bears. The negotiating and stalling can try your patience as a parent and take the enjoyment out of bedtime. If this rings true, take a deep breath and listen to the section for tips on helping your little one get through the bedtime routine and get into bed. Following this section will help you figure out how to help him stay there all night. Schedule. Little kids still need roughly 10 and a half to 11 hours of sleep at night. So if your child is waking up around 6:30 a.m., a good bedtime is 7:30 p.m. This depends on your child's individual sleep needs, but also is determined by what time he wakes up, whether he naps, and the timing of his naps. Around age 3, kids who are napping may not be tired until a little later than their usual bedtime, whereas when they stop napping, they'll be tired an hour or so earlier. This is because as your child grows, his sleep drive does not build as quickly. Napping for too long, like more than 2 hours, or too late, like past 3 or 3:30 p.m., will mean that your child's sleep drive hasn't built up enough to make him fall asleep at bedtime. This is also true of kids who have stopped napping but sleep late in the morning or even take a little 10-minute power nap in the car. Both napping and sleeping in reduce your child's sleep drive and make bedtime more difficult. Motivate. Your child may need a little motivation to drive him through the steps of getting ready for bed, so you don't feel as though you're dragging him along. You might start by putting the best, most alluring step at the end of the routine. For example, if your toddler likes to sing a certain song with you or use a flashlight to make shadows on the wall, make that the final step in the bedtime routine. Tell your older child an ongoing story that has a cliffhanger every night, so he's motivated to put on pajamas, crawl into bed, and hear the next installment. Remember that the best incentive for getting into bed is your undivided attention. Set aside books that you love to read and create a repertoire of songs that you love to sing. Your child will know if you're truly enjoying this time together or merely going through the motions, so take good care of yourself and your mood will be contagious. A visual chart can be very helpful. You can ask your child to check in with the chart and complete his routine. After doing so, he or you can put a star or choose a sticker to show that the routine was completed for the night. You can also do this for your morning routine. Resist praising and showing big excitement, as this can backfire and increase resistance. Focus on the effort and the process, not the end product. Remark on his accomplishments by saying, "Look at all these stickers. You're following your chart." Here's an example of a chart you can make in 10 minutes. Take a large piece of poster paper, draw an illustration of each step in your child's routine, like bath, pajamas, brushing teeth. Pin up an envelope of stickers next to the chart. Buy some surprise stickers on your own so that they're exciting to your child. After your child completes his routine, but before getting into bed, have him choose a sticker and put it on the paper in a designated spot. Make a bedtime storybook. Take photos or draw pictures of each step in the bedtime routine and write the story of how it goes every night. Your child can draw the pictures and help you make the book, or you can do it yourself and read it with her during the day as part of her routine. Telling the story of your routine and how the evening goes will help her make sense of the new plan. Kids often love to see themselves and the routine in a book. You can also have these books made by an online photo book service. Last call for stuff. If you find yourself answering random questions that your child has concocted to lure you back in the room, or you're repeatedly rearranging blankets and lovies after bedtime, it's time to institute a last call policy. While your child is climbing into bed and you're winding down the routine, tell him that this is the last call for stuff, in which he can ask for water, request his favorite stuffed animal, ask you to check on his boo-boo, help him put on or take off socks, make a trip to the potty, or ask any of the questions he might have. The last call is a way to meet your child's needs, but to contain the interaction so that it doesn't dribble over after you've done your clear handoff of saying goodnight and walking out of the room. Remind your little one during the last call that if he asks for something after last call, he is now in charge of his stuff, his blankets, water, and stuffed animals. The creative bedtime staller. Andrea, my son Jonah was a super creative staller. My socks fell off. I pushed my crib away from the wall. All my animals jumped out of my bed. Thankfully, he loved the idea of the last call for stuff. And as I made sure to include this check-in during his routine, he felt heard and contained. It became much easier for him to accept and understand when it was time for him to stop calling out and begin to soothe himself to sleep. Falling asleep independently. The reverse sleep wave, the sleep wave, and the gradual parent wean. We will explain three techniques for helping your child sleep. The reverse sleep wave, the regular sleep wave, and the gradual parent wean. Which should you use? All are effective, but consider that, number one, the reverse sleep wave, if successful, is a gentle and easy system, and it's one that you can keep in place as a sweet, ongoing nightly ritual that helps your child transition to bed. We recommend trying it first. It's very successful for many families. If it does not work, you can use the regular sleep wave or the gradual parent wean, and then go back and put the reverse one in place once your child is falling asleep on his own. Most children who are at least two can understand the concept of the reverse sleep wave and stay in their beds in between the checks. Number two, if you've been lying down or sitting with your child until he falls asleep or having him sleep in your bed for a long time, you may feel most comfortable with the gradual parent wean. However, we still recommend trying the reverse sleep wave first. You might be surprised by the result. Number three, the reverse sleep wave is primarily for helping your child fall asleep at the beginning of the night. If your child wakes up in the middle of the night, the regular sleep wave is the best option. In this case, you would use the reverse sleep wave at bedtime and the regular sleep wave in the middle of the night. Number four, if your child has been sleeping in your bed, use the reverse sleep wave or the regular sleep wave, not the parent wean. No matter which technique you choose, don't skip over this very important step. Talk to your child about the plan during the day. This is an essential step in working on sleep with children over the age of two. The more you can explain in a clear, simple language, and even include your child in the plans, the more success you'll have. For example, once you've read through this chapter and decided on your new sleep plan, you can say something like, "It's my job to help you sleep better, so we're going to have a new plan at bedtime." Then explain the plan. Have these talks during the day, not while the plan is in motion at night. The reverse sleep wave. Remember that having the confidence to fall asleep alone at the beginning of the night is a major benefit to children, and it determines a lot about how your child sleeps through the night, as well as how he sleeps over the long term. So once you're through the bedtime routine and your child is in bed, how do you support him falling asleep independently? The underlying pattern in bedtime problems is usually the same. Your child protests or calls out for you and you respond. The reverse sleep wave is a way to shift this dynamic completely by setting up what we call 5-minute check-ons. that you do for your child automatically without him calling out to you. When you put your child to bed, you tell him that you're going to check on him in 5 minutes. This gives him the peace of mind to know that you're coming back and he doesn't have to craft any tricky requests or negotiate to get you back in the room. Kids love this idea. If they just wait quietly, you will come to them. It's an elegant little twist on the concept of the sleep wave because it gives your child a repetitive, consistent reminder of your presence, but it keeps your child in charge of soothing and falling to sleep independently. Your child can stop spending energy trying to get you to respond and instead feel calm and relaxed, knowing you're already planning to come back. Reverse sleep wave steps. Explain to your child in a calm moment during the day what the new plan will be and how the reverse sleep wave works. Say, "We're going to do something different tonight to help your body relax. We're going to do our bedtime routine of brushing teeth, reading 2 stories, turning out the light, singing 1 song, and putting a cup of water by your bed. If you stay quiet in your bed, Mommy will check on you. I'll keep checking on you until you fall asleep." Show your child how you will stick your head just inside the door and softly say, "I'm checking on you. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Night-night." And then you will leave right away. Make sure she understands that the reverse sleep wave is quick. It isn't a conversation starter. Her role is to stay quiet in her bed and wait for your next check-on. During the day, you can use puppets or stuffed animals to demonstrate and rehearse with her what this will look like. Depending on your child's age, she can either watch or take a role. Children often love to take the parent's role. The first time you do a check-on, wait only about 30 to 45 seconds before going in. The idea is to make sure you do the check before your child calls out, gets out of bed, or starts to cry. At first, she may not have the patience to wait the 5 minutes because she doesn't get the new pattern yet. Stick your head just inside the door and very softly say, just loud enough for her to hear, "I'm checking on you. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Night-night." And then leave. You're not waiting for a response or having any expectation about whether she's asleep or not. You're simply letting your child know that you're checking on her. Make this check very quiet. If you have a creaky door, put some oil in the hinges to make it possible for you to open it quietly without disturbing your child. Gradually lengthen the time between your check-ons until you've reached 4 to 5 minutes. By this time, your child will have detected the pattern and will come to trust that you will indeed come without her having to reach out for your attention in any way. Continue 5-minute checks until your child is asleep. Over the next week or two, you should see the number of checks drop dramatically. Most children are asleep by the 3rd one. If this doesn't happen and you feel the checks are going on, you can now choose to set a limit and let your child know that you will only do 2 or 3 checks. At first, your little sleeper will be very excited and expectant, waiting for you to come. But after a while, she will relax as the predictable pattern of your reverse sleep wave becomes clear. This builds a very sweet bridge from time awake with you to separating to fall asleep. And you can keep this ritual in place for a long time. The reverse sleep wave doesn't always work right away. Your child might pop up and get out of bed before you even do 1 check, even if it's a 15-second one. If this is the case, don't worry. You can still use the reverse sleep wave once your child begins to stay in bed and fall asleep on his own. Listen to the following section on the regular sleep wave, and you'll see how you can apply it until your child is ready for the reverse sleep wave. The sleep wave. In Chapter 4, we taught you the sleep wave, a method for helping your baby fall asleep independently and for sleeping through the night. You can use the sleep wave to help an older child fall asleep independently too, whether he's sleeping in a crib or a bed. The sleep wave is the best option if you've tried the reverse sleep wave, but your child is still getting out of bed or crying, or if you simply think that your child is not capable of understanding and staying in bed between checks. Many parents use the sleep wave when moving their child from a crib to the big bed, from their bed to their child's own bed, or if their child's sleep has regressed. The basic principles and method of the sleep wave are the same with older kids as they are for babies. The goal of the sleep wave is to give you a repetitive or wave-like way to respond to and reassure your child while keeping a clear distinction in terms of who is soothing to sleep. Through the sleep wave, you stay very consistent and reliable for your child, coming and going in a predictable pattern. Your child, over time, will pick up on this pattern, relax, and eventually turn inward and access his ability to fall asleep. Remember that your child is capable of falling asleep on his own, but habits and associations become so powerful and entrenched that they often overshadow his natural abilities. It can look like it's impossible for your child to fall asleep on his own. It's not. You just have to shift the dynamic and institute a new, consistent pattern. Kids often protest change. It's normal for your child to have feelings about doing bedtime in a different way. The sleep wave is the way to respond predictably and consistently without helping with the soothing to sleep part. When you're very repetitive and consistent, it's almost hypnotic for your child. He'll be able to detect the pattern, know what to expect, relax, and access his own soothing mechanisms. When using the sleep wave with a walking, talking child who's in a real bed, you will have extra challenges as well as extra tools to help. The main challenge is that now your little one isn't confined by the crib, so this newfound freedom can bring on multiple attempts to come out looking for you. The good news is that an older child has the ability to understand and participate in a new plan, as well as the sophisticated brain power to know in a very concrete way that you're nearby. The key to success equals consistency. The number one key to success with the sleep wave is consistency. Sticking to your plan with complete steadiness, with the goal of not breaking your pattern at all. Especially as children grow, with stronger bodies, louder voices, and big personalities, their protests can be very powerful. As a parent, it's hard to hear or watch your child protest. We know how tough this can be. Keep in mind that the end goal is good, healthy sleep for your child. The more consistent you are, the faster and easier the process will be for everyone. When we say consistent, we mean that even your small behaviors, such as what you say and how you move, must stay the same. For example, below you will hear about options for returning your child to bed. When you choose a script to say, repeat it exactly each time, without adding a single other phrase, an exasperated sigh, a sharp tone, or any yelling. The precise consistency of your voice and your body movements is key. When you deviate from your exact plan, it confuses and activates your child. He will begin to reach out and test even more to see what your next response will be. If he knows it's never changing, he will eventually relax and self-soothe to sleep. Before you start the sleep wave, you will create a plan and a script to say to your child once he's in bed. Do not deviate from this. When you change your response even slightly, by saying a different phrase, responding to his request for a new stuffed animal just one time, and so forth, it will make him more likely to keep getting up or crying, and the whole process will be prolonged. Sleep struggles can get ugly sometimes because parents want to be accommodating, but eventually they reach a limit and they start feeling frustrated, resentful, and out of control. That's when putting a new sleep plan in place and sticking to it consistently is really important. Make a fresh start with your child by creating and writing down your sleep plan, talking through it with your partner and your child, and implementing it in a very clear way. Sleep wave choices. How you implement the sleep wave with your child depends on whether he's in a crib or a big bed, and what exactly he does when you put him into bed. Here are the possible scenarios. If your child is in a crib, to implement the sleep wave if your child is still in the crib, you can follow the exact steps of the sleep wave as outlined earlier in Chapter 4. If your child is in a bed, to implement the sleep wave when your child is in a bed, you will complete your bedtime routine. Make sure to listen to all the prior information on routines. Kiss your child goodnight and walk out of the room. Your child may protest this change in many different ways, so read the following options depending on your child's behavior. If your child cries but stays in bed, you don't need to check on your child if he's talking, singing, or mumbling, but if your child is crying or protesting strongly, use the sleep wave 5-minute checks, as outlined in Chapter 4. If your child gets out of bed, here comes the tough one. Many toddlers get out of bed after parents say goodnight and walk out. You may even feel someone tugging on your leg before you even get out of the room. If your child gets out of bed, Here are a few ways to respond using the sleep wave, all of which involve the idea of expanding the crib. Expand the crib. Many parents are not prepared for the persistence with which their little one will get up out of bed over and over. One mom told us that the first night she moved her son to a toddler bed, he got out of bed 110 times. It helps tremendously to now imagine your child's bedroom as an expanded crib. Instead of being contained by the crib, you can now choose a gentle but clear way to contain your child in the bedroom, rather than allowing her to join you repeatedly in the living room. This is very effective in reducing her excitement at being able to get to where the action is. Keeping her in her room also keeps her in the darkness, where her brain is able to fall asleep. And the sense of a fun game is also diminished if she can't come pitter-pattering down the hallway time after time. Depending on factors such as whether your child's bedroom door is usually open or closed, which direction the door opens, what kind of a climber she is, and so forth, there are several choices for how to accomplish the idea of the expanded crib. Before you start, check the room for any safety issues. For example, blind cords, electrical outlets, and anything your child could pull over or climb on. Use a baby-proof gate at the bedroom door. This is probably the most common approach. The gate needs to be strong and high enough to be effective. If your child is used to having the door closed, you can simply close it. The tricky part about this choice is that most doors open into the room, which makes it difficult to open it to do your checks if your child is standing right at the door. There are gadgets you can buy to hold the door firmly in an ajar position, which some families have used for this purpose. If you don't use any of these choices, you can sit on the floor or in a chair just out of sight in the dark outside your child's room. Sleep wave steps. Once you've decided on your method for keeping your little one secure in her comfy room, you're ready to use the sleep wave steps to help her learn the new pattern of falling asleep independently. You'll want a one-line script to say to your child when you're doing your 5-minute checks. For example, it's time for bed. Repeat this script in a very calm, confident way. For some children, these strategies may work better without any words from the parent at all. This is your choice and it depends on your child's temperament and age. The trick is to not engage or stimulate her at all during the visits. The goal is to be so repetitive and non-engaging that she eventually figures out it's not really worth getting up after all. Whichever way you choose to respond, remember the most important thing is to stick to it. Look over the following 4 examples and choose how you will respond depending on your child's behaviors after you say goodnight and walk out of the room. Number 1. If your child is at her gate or door crying, wait 5 minutes and then go and walk or carry her back to her bed. Say your script and leave right away. Even if she doesn't get out of bed, be sure to do the 5-minute checks if she's crying. Number 2. If your child is at his gate or door but not crying, you don't have to go in at all. Some parents still choose to go in every 5 minutes and walk or carry their child back to bed, say their script, and leave right away. When you get your little one back into bed, make sure not to do any additional soothing or bedtime rituals for him. Last call for stuff is over, so no elaborate tucking or pulling up the covers. Teach him how to do these things himself. Otherwise, they turn into reasons for calling you back in. Number 3. If you've chosen not to use a gate or close the door, just sit out of sight outside of your child's door in the dark and walk or carry him back every time he gets up. In this case, it's best to use very few words or not talk at all, as he will already be quite activated by your presence. Remember that you're not disciplining your child, sending him the message that he's done something wrong or that you're upset. You're simply establishing a new pattern. Make sure that your body movements and emotional tone convey this by being patient and neutral. Number 4. If you choose check-in methods 1, 2, or 3 and you find little or no progress is being made, you'll want to shift to a less engaging approach, which usually means no talking. Either way, if you stick to it, your child will eventually become convinced that you're not going to change your tune and that getting up isn't so much fun after all. It's only then that she will turn to her inner soothing abilities and find her own way to fall asleep. Using the sleep wave with the toddler bed. Marianne. When we first moved Bella to her toddler bed, she popped up repeatedly. She would stand at the gate and just scream at the top of her lungs. The first night my husband walked her back to bed and said his script 45 times. We were sure it wasn't going to work, but the second night, he had to do it only 28 times, and the third night, it was down to 10. She's a strong little one, but by the end of the week, she was going down easily and not getting out of bed. Remember, important notes about the sleep wave with children. Be calm and concise. When you're walking your child back to bed, don't engage in conversation or negotiations. Don't use threats or consequences, plead, or express frustration with your child. We can't overstate this enough. You don't want bedtime to be associated with tension, and sometimes negative attention from you confuses and reinforces your child's behavior. Be calm and confident, unwavering, repetitive, and boring. Say the exact same thing each time you go in, such as, "It's time for sleeping," or say nothing at all. If you feel exasperated or upset, try switching off with your partner and doing the checks. Kids are tenacious. Expect your child to get out of bed 50 times at first. Hopefully this won't happen, but you should prepare for your child to truly test the limits of this new bedtime arrangement. If he detects the pattern and gets comfortable after one or two checks, in which you walk him back to bed, that's great. You've got an easygoing sleeper on your hands. Just know that it's completely normal for children to pop out of bed many times, cry, and express their feelings in all sorts of different ways in response to a big change like this. Be ready to ride this out and let your child know this is truly the new way of doing things in your home. You may feel as though 5 minutes is too short and that you're interrupting his progress towards self-soothing to sleep. If this is the case, at this age it's fine to extend the time to 6, 7, or 8 minutes. The key is choose a time and stick to it. You want your child to feel the predictability, the rhythmic wave of your visits. What to say the next day. Children have a basic need to feel capable and significant. The next day, let your child know that you noticed he was able to fall asleep on his own, and maybe ask how his body feels after a good night's sleep. If getting there was a big struggle, you might say, "You kept trying and you finally did it." Research points to the fact that big praise and lots of good jobs actually backfire, as kids tend to give up or tune out very quickly. Kids are more likely to try harder and stick with something difficult if we acknowledge the effort and the progress they're making, while also helping them connect with how they feel about the accomplishment. It also helps to stay calm about their progress and normalize sleep for them, because if they catch wind of how invested you are in this whole business, they will be inspired to resist. Julie, when my son used to say, "Mommy, I can't fall asleep," I would tell him, "Don't worry, honey. All you have to do is close your eyes and take deep breaths, and your body will do the rest." Don't punish your child or take anything away if he doesn't meet your expectations with the new bedtime plan. Simply acknowledge the struggle and notice his accomplishments when they happen. For example, "Wow, I noticed it was really tough for you to follow our new sleep plan last night, wasn't it? I had to help you back into bed lots of times. Is there anything you think would help you tonight?" By the way, this isn't an opportunity for your child to change the plan, only to make a small modification like a new sippy cup or a different book, so she feels like she's part of the plan too. Or, "Wow, I was noticing how you fell asleep with your lovey last night, just like we talked about. Your body knows what to do, doesn't it?" If you stick with your plan and your response is consistent, you'll probably notice that your 5-minute checks eventually decrease, although don't be surprised if they increase the second or third night. After a week or two of consistent response, most kids fall asleep independently. 4-year-old Eli and the Magic Monkey. Ben, when Eli was 4, he refused to go to bed on his own. I made the mistake of resting next to him until he fell asleep. Then I would sneak out, or I'd fall asleep too, only to wake up a few hours later, confused and frustrated. This went on for a few weeks. Every time I tried to leave Eli before he was asleep, it would result in tears. I was exhausted and weak, and I would give in, repeatedly. When we decided to stay consistent and truly change the pattern, we noticed that a little extra bit of encouragement made a big difference. At the time, Eli was very interested in a character he invented, called The Magic Monkey. The Magic Monkey started writing Eli supportive letters that would appear under Eli's pillow. I know you can do it. It's hard, but you're almost there. Don't worry, Eli. This can take a little time. Eventually, he was falling asleep without me in the room.